This free podcast is sponsored by the bookstore at stephencosgrove.com. Buy a book, support the cause for more free podcasts at stephencosgrove.com.
Smiggy Weevil, a bug book by Stephen Cosgrove from bookpop.com. Dedicated to Eugene and Kathy Russell, the original Tea Fiddle and Grace McFlame. With a twinkle in their eyes and gentle smiles, this accountant of accountants and his wife opened their home to children in need. More than accountants, more than just friends. As you lay on a winter's day in a cold but sunny place, don't look up into the skies. Instead, look down and squint your eyes. Squint your eyes so very tight, and if you look with all your might, you'll find the land of more than small. In this land live bugs. That's all. In the winter, when it's colder than cold, even the rivers freeze over in the land of more than small. Bubbling Kootydoo Creek and the deep, twisty river freeze solid all the way to their muddy bottoms. From a distance, the rivers look like strips of shiny silver ribbon wrapping a gift in the season of snow. And what a gift it is. Bugs, young and old, glide gracefully along the surface on ice skates of polished steel. Laughter and song fill the air as the bugs skate, woven scarves trailing happily behind. Follow these ribbons of ice as the rivers twist and turn from north to south, making their way into the tiny town of Bugville. Here, beneath Sticky Finger Bridge and Old Creaky Bridge too, bugs skate to their heart's content. It may be cold, but hearts are warm in the winter wonderland called Bugville. It was a bitterly cold winter's day, 8 years ago, that a baby bug was born. The day was so cold that few bugs, if any, were skating. The baby was born to Scooty and Evil Weevil in the tall, cold tower of Weevil Castle, out near Old Skunk Swamp. Bones, Doc Bump, had skated out to the castle to do those things that doctors do. "It's a girl," he said, holding the baby in his arms. "What will you be calling her?" The Weevils thought and thought. Scooty wanted to call her Samantha. Evil wanted to name her after his grandfather on his mother's side, Higgins. They fought and fought over the name. Finally, they settled on the name Smiggy Smiggins Weevil. All this time, little baby Weevil was getting madder and madder. She was cold and hungry, and she cried angrily in protest. Her cries were but the tip of an iceberg to come. The Weevils had never had children before. They didn't know what to do. Trying his best to help, old Doc Bump heated a bottle and quieted the baby with warm milk. In the days and weeks that followed, the Weevils often ignored Smiggy. For you see, Evil and Scooty were kept very busy doing a bit of this and a little bit of that. It wasn't surprising that they both often forgot about Smiggy all alone in her crib in the tower. Now, like all babies, Smiggy had needs. She needed food to eat and milk to drink. Most of all, she needed love, all of which she got very little of. So Smiggy learned very quickly that the only way to get her parents' attention was to throw a tantrum. When she didn't get what she wanted when she wanted it, she would kick her feet and scream. Not just any scream, but a supersonic, ear-splitting, teeth-jarring, fingernails-down-a-blackboard scream. In time, Smiggy always got her way. As winter thawed to spring, her voice would echo through Old Skunk Swamp. Even the LeClunks, who lived on the edge of the swamp, could hear her angry cries. Spring showers had only just begun when the Weevils realized they weren't taking good care of their child. Even though they loved her in their own Weevil way, they simply were not good parents. So it was early one morning that Smiggy was dropped off at the Bugville Fire Department. The Weevils wrote a note that read, "We can't take care of our baby, Smiggy Smiggins. Would you please find her a good home?" Now, the firefighters of Engine 13 were the McFlames, T. Fiddle, and Grace. They loved kids almost as much as they loved putting out fires. This loving couple often acted as a foster home to kids from Beetleburg and such. So they took Smiggy in, promising to give her a good home. Smiggy was none too happy about being stuck in a basket. Most of all, she was hungry and tired. She got mad and madder still. She screamed and cried in anger until her face turned purplish red. Later, she even kicked her little bug feet until Grace fed her a second bowl of warm bitty bean soup. Now, the McFlames were firefighters, and as such were busy as bees building a hive of honey. There were occasional fires to be put out, and their fire truck led many a parade. It's important to note that the McFlames were never, ever late for a fire. But often they were late for a parade because Smiggy had thrown another one of her famous fits. Unfortunately, the fire that burned deep inside Smiggy never went out. Smiggy Smiggins would get mad at the drop of a hat, and she was usually the one who threw the hat to the floor in the first place. As Smiggy grew older, her demands grew bolder. She wanted this, she wanted that, and a little bit more. She wanted ice cream for breakfast and hopcakes for lunch. She wanted a Huggy Bear, she wanted a bunch. When Smiggy didn't get what she wanted, she would get mad. Really, really mad. And usually Smiggy was rewarded for her outbursts by eventually getting her way. All of this was causing the McFlames big bug problems. They were spending less and less time with the other foster buglets who had been put in their care. As it turned out, the McFlames were only the beginning, not the end. In time, Smiggy was moved to yet another foster home, and then another, and another. She lived a year with the Doodles, a year with the Noodles, and 3 years with the Dunes. She even spent a month or two with the Clickets. It was old Rickety Clicket who said, "Yeah, it seemed like Smiggy was always wearing a hat full of hornets. She was so mad all the time, we didn't know what to do with her." On her 8th birthday, Smiggy was moved to her 7th foster home in as many years. This time, it was the Uppities who took her in, but it was not to be a long stay. Within minutes of getting there, she broke one of Gwendolyn Uppity's prized pieces of pottery, a porcelain platter. It seems Smiggy had demanded a cookie. The Uppities had crackers, but no cookies. Smiggy got mad, and madder still. Finally, in a rage, she threw the platter to the floor. Both Gwendolyn and Thornton stood there in shock. "This will never do," they said. Thornton quickly made a phone call, and quicker still, someone came and took Smiggy away. It was on that fateful winter's day that Smiggy was taken in by the Blues, Basil, Burgundy, and their son, M. Boogie. Both parents worked for K-Bug Radio. Basil read the news and Burgundy did the interviews. M. Boogie was a student at Buttonwood School. Over the years, the Blues had taken in foster children from all over, more than small. They had more than enough room in their hearts and home. And so it was on that Friday afternoon that Smiggy was left at the doorstep of the Bugford Arms apartment building. The Blues had barely said hello before Smiggy threw her first tantrum and all the clothes in her suitcase. For it seems little Miss Smiggy didn't want to carry her bag upstairs. As Smiggy raged, Burgundy smiled an odd, twisted smile. Mrs. Blue took a deep breath, exhaled, and then slowly counted to 10 and back again. Then she softly said, "Come on upstairs when you are finished." Burgundy stepped back inside and followed Basil and M. Boogie up the stairs. Smiggy was left all alone with her anger on the cobbled street, her clothes in heaps around her feet. The very next day was Saturday. As usual, Smiggy woke up on the wrong side of bed, so to speak. M. Boogie had knocked on the door and asked if she wanted to go snowboarding with him and his friends. Woken from a deep sleep, Smiggy Smiggins was in a very bad mood indeed, and M. Boogie at the door only made things worse. "Go away," she grumbled from beneath the blankets tumbled upon the bed. A short time later, Burgundy kindly brought Smiggy a plate of roast toast and a cup of hot chocolate. Smiggy took a bite of toast and threw it on the floor. "This toast is burnt," she snapped. Then she dipped her finger in the hot chocolate. "And this hot chocolate is cold. I want some unburnt roast toast, and I want some hot chocolate," she screeched. Once again, Burgundy smiled her odd, twisted smile. And as she had done the day before, she took a deep breath, exhaled, and then slowly counted to 10 and back again. Then she simply said, "Well, when you're dressed, meet me in the living room." With that, she quietly closed the door. If Smiggy was mad before, she was furious now. Now, every Saturday morning, Burgundy did a live broadcast on K-Bug Radio. During the show, she played the latest music and reported on who was doing what to whom in Bugville. "Well, Miss Weevil," smiled Burgundy as Smiggy stomped into the living room, "I guess she'll be coming with me to the station. Basil is already there." "No," snapped Smiggy, "you guessed wrong. I'm going snowboarding with M. Boogie." Burgundy smiled as she pulled on her coat. "I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. Boogie asked you earlier and you said no. He went on without you. Now you'll have to come with me." Smiggy was mad and getting madder, but she put on her coat and followed Burgundy down the stairs. Smiggy said very little as they walked the two blocks to the radio station. K-Bug Radio was on the top floor of the old tower building. Smiggy followed Burgundy up the creaking stairs to the radio station. The station had two rooms separated by a thick glass window. One room held a workstation filled with rows and rows of blinking lights, buttons, and knobs. In the other room was the broadcast booth. Through the window, Burgundy and Smiggy could see Basil, headphones over his ears, reading the news into a microphone. Burgundy took off her coat, but Smiggy just stood there, her hands jammed in her pockets. She was like a pot of water on the stove being brought to a boil. Burgundy showed the pouting Smiggy around the radio station and gave her a can of Fuzz Fizz soda. Smiggy didn't really want the soft drink. She really didn't want to be there at all. She wanted to be with the other bug kids skiing and snowboarding their way down the slopes. Smiggy was mad. She was getting madder. And then, of course, she got madder still. And then the pot boiled over. As hard as she could, Smiggy threw the can of Fuzz Fizz at the thick glass window. The can burst and sticky soda spewed all over the control panel. Sparks flew from the machine as well as from Smiggy's mouth. With a wicked crackle and a puff of smoke, K-Bug Radio went off the air. No news, no music, just static buzz like a whole bunch of bees gone bad. Burgundy was as mad as could be. Gritting her teeth, she angrily turned toward little Miss Smiggy. Smiggy realized there was big, big trouble brewing. For every step Burgundy took forward, Smiggy took one step back. Back, that is, until her back was against the wall. "You had no right to do that," Burgundy grumbled. "I know how you feel, but there is no excuse for ruining things for everyone else." Smiggy's anger turned to fear, and her fear turned to tears. "How do you know how I feel? I'm a foster bug. I have no real home. How would you know how that feels?" Burgundy took a really deep breath, exhaled, and then slowly counted to 10 and back again. Then, with a tear in her eye, Burgundy said, "I know how you feel because I was a foster bug too. And just like you, I would get mad and madder still. But now I have learned how to control my anger, my rage. Now I have learned how to control me." You could have pushed Smiggy over with a feather. But how do you do that?" Burgundy smiled and then sat down beside Smiggy. "Years ago, a wonderful bug told me that you can catch more bees with honey than vinegar. She told me this and much, much more. And then, whenever I felt myself spinning out of control, she taught me how to count to 10 and back again. She was my foster mother first and later became my best friend." The two of them sat there looking at one another, their anger long departed. Then Burgundy put her arm around Smiggy and said, "And now I ask you, as she asked me, would you like to live with us forever? How would you like to be my daughter? I'd really like a chance to become your friend." And so it was that Smiggy Smiggins became a member of the Family Blue. If you get mad like Smiggy did, don't simply stomp and shout. Just count to 10 and back again and let all the anger out. If you would like to hear more Stephen Cosgrove stories, visit bookpop.com.